here to talk about condom use and oral sex. So if anybody has any jokes, I assure you I've heard them all, but I'll smile and nod if you want me to. Okay, we got that cleared out. Oral sex is a common practice among both homosexual and heterosexual relationships. The prevalence of it in the United States has increased over the past few decades. Although oral sex entails less STD risk than penile, vaginal, or anal sex, there is still potential risk for the receptive partner to acquire oral chlamydial infection, pharyngeal gonococcal infection, oral herpes, or oral human papillomavirus infection. In fact, in the May issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, I think it's D'Souza, put out a paper about oral HPV infection being linked to oral pharyngeal cancer, and that being linked to the number of oral sex partners. So, oral sex is a relatively important route for STD transmission and therefore should be an important consideration in STD prevention and condom promotion efforts. Condom use with oral sex is not very common. It's not very popular. Research cites various reasons why, some being the dislike of the taste of condoms or the belief that sex is not pleasant with condom use. Additionally, there's issues surrounding negotiation. Or sometimes also research has shown that people don't consider oral sex within their definition of sex, and therefore they may miss out on some of these condom promotional messages. So various factors providing information about condom use with oral sex have been identified, but studies are limited that examine differences in those who at least use condoms sporadically with those who never use condoms for oral sex. That's the objective of our study, to look at both the prevalence and correlates of never using condoms for oral sex. And we looked at that within two distinct populations, students on a college campus and attendees at an STD clinic. There's some information out about this prevalence among college students, but less among STD clinic patients. Can you all hear me okay? I turned the microphone. All right. So we recruited two convenient samples from these locations, both within the same area of the southern U.S. I want to state here that the study was part of a larger effort to investigate protective behavior surrounding HSV type 2 diagnoses, and so our eligibility criteria and analysis is colored as such. For example, part of our eligibility criteria is having never been previously diagnosed with HSV type 2, which usually causes genital herpes. Our additional criteria, being able to speak English because our surveys were administered in English, and being sexually active within the past 3 months. There were two additional criteria for students at the college campus, first being a student of the college, and secondly, having at least two sexual partners within the last 6 months. And this latter criteria was put in place in order to ensure we were getting a population who may be at risk of acquiring HSV type 2, since this was part of this other investigation. Part of this other investigation, so we limited our analysis for this sample to those without current symptoms of HSV type 2, as that may have impacted oral sex behavior, and to those, of course, who reported engaging in oral sex. It says up here the last 3 months, all of our sexual behavior measures were measured with the recall period being the last 3 months. Okay. So this was a cross-sectional analysis. On the college campus, we placed ads in the study in the newspaper, student health services, and through the clinical research organization. At the STD clinic, patients who presented for care were asked if they were interested in participating and then referred to a research assistant. Participants were given a self-administered survey, which measured sexual behaviors, and as I mentioned earlier, part of an HSV type 2 study, so we included a 5-item version of the herpes-related quality of life scale. Participants underwent HSV type 2 rapid testing with Fisher Sherview's rapid test. I think that's formally known as the POP kit rapid test. Okay. We assessed variables for normality. For those that were non-normal, we dichotomized those at the median. All analyses was conducted using SPSS version 14, contingency table analysis, employing prevalence ratios, confidence intervals, and respective p-values, and logistic regression accordingly. Significance set at 0.05. Okay, and some key characteristics. And I want to note, too, here that I stratified these demographics to give you an idea of the two different samples, but our end analysis is not stratified as such. You see that on the college campus, the mean age was about 21 years old, and at the STD clinic, slightly older at 30 years. The college campus was mostly represented by people who identified as Caucasian, and it was split a little bit more in half at the STD clinic. Maybe I should move this around so people can see. Okay. And in terms of gender, that was sort of split 40-60 at both locations. At the college campus, 93% reported never using a condom for oral sex, and 71% reported never using a condom for oral sex at the STD clinic. Okay, these are bivariate associations between potential correlates and never using condoms for oral sex, being at least 21 years of age, being of Caucasian race and having at least a high school education, being recruited at the college campus. Interestingly, having been diagnosed as negative with the HSV type 2 rapid test was associated with never using condoms for oral sex. Frequency of penile-vaginal sex, this is relatively increased frequency, more than 12 times in the last 3 months, was associated with never using condoms for oral sex, although we did not find frequency of oral sex to be associated with condom use. Never using a condom with penile-vaginal sex was associated, as was having never been diagnosed with an STD. Okay, in multivariate analysis, we found three variables that retain significance. Being recruited from the college campus meant that one was six times more likely to never use condoms for oral sex. Having relatively increased rate of sexual frequency was found to be about twice as likely to never use condoms for oral sex. And never using condoms for penile and vaginal sex retained significance in the model, but there was an empty cell within the contingency table, so we're unable to report an odds ratio or a confidence interval for that variable. Okay. So in this study, which sought to identify prevalence of and correlates of never using condoms for oral sex, we found that about 82% of our sample in total, never used condoms for oral sex as measured within the last 3 months. We found that increased sexual frequency and never using condoms for penile vaginal sex was correlated with never using condoms for oral sex. This could be explained by studies which have focused just on penile vaginal sex, which have found that sexual frequency is a relationship characteristic that can influence condom use. Relationships, for example, with lower coital frequency or with new partners are associated with more consistent penile-vaginal condom use. So this explanation may account also for condom use with oral sex. A recent meta-analytic review found that sexual frequency and condom use were correlated negative 0.18. They were inversely related. Further explanation could be that people who engage in sex relatively more frequently are more attuned to sexual pleasure or to pleasure barriers, and that may deter condom use. They may find it, for example, difficult to orgasm with condom use during oral sex. Okay, and we also found that students recruited from the college campus were more likely to never use condoms for oral sex than those who were recruited at the STD clinic. And this finding is interesting. It may be contrary to popular belief that STD clinic attendees tend to engage in riskier behaviors. But that's not the case according to condom use with oral sex. These are two distinct populations with distinct characteristics. For example, college students may engage in risky behaviors with less consequence because STDs are less prevalent within their sexual network on campus. Hence the bivariate finding that negative HSV2 serostatus was associated with never using condoms for oral sex. Additionally, college students may be exposed to less health promotion messages than people who attend the STD clinic. The STD clinic we were at had a fairly high reinfection rate, and so patients who are coming into the STD clinic may receive health promotion messages more frequently than students, throughout the year on a college campus. Interestingly, only three variables retain significance at the multivariate level, while there were several significant variables at the bivariate level. So on closer examination, I think we find that those other bivariate associations, being about 21 years of age, being identifying as Caucasian, and having at least a high school education. Those items are probably indicative of being recruited from the college campus, which is probably why they fell out of the regression model. Okay. There are limitations. The study is cross-sectional. We use the convenience sample, and so we are limited in any kind of causal relationship. We can't make any kind of inference about causal relationships. And the convenience sample limits our generalizability to other STD clinic or college student populations. And there's a potential sample bias because we enrolled participants who knew with the knowledge that they were going to be tested for HSV type 2 at the end of the study. We asked for self-report of sensitive behaviors, which may have been subject to recall bias or to deliberate concealment. We did not assess oral sex as specifically given or received, which certainly would have shed more light on the condom use behavior and maybe have given us even some gender-specific information. We also did not assess participant knowledge of condom use with oral sex, which would have been valuable. When I was enrolling some of the participants, they would read that survey question and ask me about condom use behavior with oral sex because it was news to them. It was the first they'd heard of it. So that it would have been improved study if we had looked at that knowledge. And finally, unprotected oral sex questions were specific to condom use, and we did not highlight specifically dental dam or any other type of latex barrier. It's possible that participants considered condoms in this case to mean universal latex barriers. Okay, in terms of implications, we did seek to better guide educational efforts, particularly among the college student population, which we identified as at risk of not using condoms for oral sex. Additional findings from the study suggest that populations who don't use condoms for oral sex are also at risk of not using condoms for penile vaginal sex, and this may imply that prevention programs which address condom use with vaginal sex should include some messages that are specific to oral sex. Finally, the finding that increased sexual frequency was correlated with never using a condom for oral sex suggests that prevention directed at oral condom use within specific sexual relationships might be effective. These are our two in conclusions. I think I've covered them. Findings suggest increased sexual frequency and never using condoms for penile vaginal sex are characteristics of those who never use condoms for oral sex. And additionally, students on college campuses may be at increased risk of lack of condom use for oral sex. All right, thank you.